This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is the Big K Morning Show, and every Wednesday in our 7 o'clock hour, we welcome Rich Fitzgerald, the Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission, which encompasses 10 counties and the city of Pittsburgh. Rich, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How are you?
Good. It's been a very busy news week with the passing of Pope Francis, coincidentally after he had a chance really to say goodbye on Easter Sunday services at St. Peter's Square. He passed early the next morning on Monday, and going through the process, as you know, they moved his body today to St. Peter's Basilica, and tens of thousands of people will pay their final respects. And then Saturday is the funeral. And growing up Catholic here, these popes, I mean, it's rare. I mean, he was pope for 12 years. And there haven't been that many, even in our lifetime.
You're exactly right. And you know, growing up myself, 12 years of Catholic education, it's obviously a lot of interest. And the impact that Pope Francis had, I think, was profound. And a lot of the changes that have happened, you know, within the church. And I think, are there more changes to come? I guess that will remain to be seen who the cardinals during the conclave, as they go through and elect a new pope, a new leader. I've been, you know, glad to hear some of the comments, you know, throughout the world, quite frankly, and even locally here with Bishop Zubik, you know, weighing in and talking about the impact and the legacy of Pope Francis.
Yeah, and I talked to Cardinal Dan DiNardo, who went to school in Castle Shannon at St. Anne's Elementary, and then he was a founding pastor of Saints John and Paul in Franklin Park, and then he had spent 10 years in Rome. And then he was the Archbishop and Cardinal in Houston, which is a very large parish. And then he's been summoned. He's in Rome, and he'll be part of that conclave. And he was part of the last one. But interestingly enough, three-quarters of those cardinals that will be part of that were appointed by Pope Francis.
Yeah, it's an interesting process that they have. And one of the things I think a lot of us can remember was when Pope Francis was selected, reading the stories of the conclave. And if anybody saw the movie, how accurate it was, I'm not sure. But, you know, talking about the lobbying and the jockeying, if you will, behind the scenes, they had indicated that Bishop Wuerl, or Cardinal Wuerl from Pittsburgh at the time, had a lot of influence. So it's always a Pittsburgher that seems to be in the middle, no matter where it is. There's Cardinal DiNardo or Cardinal Wuerl, it's just, we're in the midst of all these things.
There is always a connection, you're right. All right, Rich, as this report is coming out today from the American Lung Association, it's their 26th annual State of the Air and the air in this region. Give us some context when you see the headlines and what you're hearing throughout the city today on TV, radio, digital, paper, everybody's talking about this.
Well, every April, this report comes out, and it becomes a headline for, you know, a period of time. And we weigh in on what happens. And, you know, one of the things I think we can be proud of is really over the last couple of decades, we've made major, major improvements. In fact, it was just 4 years ago or 5 years ago that for the first time, Allegheny County was in compliance in all eight of the monitors, including the, quote, Liberty Monitor down in the Mon Valley, and then did it for 4 years in a row. I think one of the stories I saw today showed that it was a 65% reduction in that PM 2.5. They talk about the particle improvement. It's a challenge, and it continues to be a challenge when you have industry. We, of course, want to have industry with the jobs that come about, but you also want to make sure that the environment is good for quality of life and all the other issues that the story talks about. And I think our county health department, I've been proud of the work that they've done, and I'm sure County Executive Inamorata is making sure that they're continuing to be vigilant and making sure that we improve our air quality. One of the things it talked about was the Canadian wildfires of a couple of years ago. That, again, because of our topography, once those wildfires start drifting this way, we kind of trap it. It gets trapped in the topography that we have, and then that air quality kind of issue kind of lingers around. Then it's we're not going to be able to do anything about that part of it, but some of the other things we can continue to be vigilant.
Yeah, and collectively, since you have really your eyes on now 10 counties, which encompasses large area of southwestern Pennsylvania, collectively, I don't know what we can do. In addition, I know you were part of the airport and the solar and the natural gas that fuels that, the only airport in the country that is self-sufficient when it comes to energy. Those are things that have been very positive.
There have been a lot of improvements. And as I indicated, an 80% reduction over a decade period of particles, hazardous pollutants, I think is the way it is described by the EPA. We also going to see what this administration will have when it wants to maybe ease the regulations within the EPA and how things go. And not to get too technical, but one of the changes that came about a number of years ago, the limit on PM 2.5 was 12. That was a limit that we had to reach. And we did in Allegheny County at all of our monitors. And then just before this new administration came into place, they lowered it to 9. Instead of 12, which makes it a little more challenging. Now the Trump administration, I think, is talking about going back to 12. So, you know, it remains to be seen where a lot of this goes. But I think most of us, as we become more knowledgeable about how air quality can affect our children's lives and our lives, we're going to make sure that we're going to continue to be vigilant around it.
All right, coming up, Rich, you performed in Jesus Christ Superstar, and you've been a doppelganger for a very talented actor, Jeff Daniels, who I understand you met a while back. We're going to talk about the movie industry a little bit this morning, too, among other things, with Rich Fitzgerald on the big camera. Action. Rich Fitzgerald fresh off the stage at the Benedum. Rich, you were in Jesus Christ Superstar as a cameo appearance.
We were part of the crowd that was jeering the action. Senator Fontana and I, every once in a while, do a walk-on, and it was exciting. It was a great performance, and Pittsburgh Musical Theater and Colleen Doino and her team, they do some great, great work, and we were privileged to be on that. In Easter week, too, as a Catholic, you know, that whole experience has a special meaning.
And I remember the actor who's a very accomplished actor, Jeff Daniels, was in town a while ago, and people were like, hey, Rich, you kind of look like him. Well, they're still making movies here. They're making television shows. Very successful was the mayor of Kingstown with Jeremy Renner. And joining us in her 30th season as the head of the Pittsburgh Film Office is Don Keyser. Don, good morning.
Well, good morning. But, you know, I thought you were going to tell me Rich was playing Jesus Christ on stage. I was like, wow, how did I miss this?
Depends on who you talk to.
Maybe we can work our way higher up And Dawn, you know, we're so lucky in this region that we've, you know, Dawn has been working in the movie industry and bringing movies and TV shows and documentaries and other work here for many, many years. And, you know, I think people in Pittsburgh are a little confused right now, Dawn, because we see this show that has really taken off called The Pit, that is set in Pittsburgh, but not necessarily made here. And I guess you get a lot of requests about, can you bring Noah Wiley to my to my restaurant? Tell us what's going on there.
Well, I'm so glad you brought this up, so we'll lay it all to rest. Noah Wiley and I are not best friends. He seems like a nice man. I haven't met him because they don't film in southwestern PA. They're not here. This show takes place, 90% of it, on a soundstage in Burbank at Warner Brothers. Those of you who watch the show's great. It all takes place almost entirely inside. They came for 4 days, thanks to our partners over at Highmark and Allegheny Health Network, and they used AGH. Those of you who watch the show will see they went painstakingly to recreate the lobby, the marble, the tile. It's all amazing. And we were thrilled to welcome them here for 4 days. They have a season 2 order. We expect to see them back. But this show was always intended for a stage, and we still don't have a purpose-built from the ground-up stage here in southwestern PA. So John Wells and Noah Wiley wanted to sleep in their own beds, and that's why The Pit is in Los Angeles. We'll also address our other medical show, Watson, which takes place in Pittsburgh. It was written by a Pittsburgher, set in Pittsburgh, and they film in Vancouver. And the reason for that was a $16 million difference, primarily because of the exchange rate. We also didn't have tax credits available to them at that time. So those are our two. We've got Pittsburgh all over the airwaves. It looks amazing in both shows because they both came for 4 days. But yeah, neither one of them are here. And again, I can't get Noah Wiley on the phone. He's not coming to your luncheon, and he's not going to show up at your kid's bar mitzvah. It's just where we are.
Some people think he's kind of attractive. I've heard from women I know. Meanwhile, that said, there's always a Pittsburgh connection, but with The Pit, it's a CMU grad that really is the genius behind it because it's being well-received critically.
Correct. I mean, John Wells looks, he loves Pittsburgh. He writes a lot of stuff about Pittsburgh. He comes back, which is great. And he's been here to film, and they will come again. We just don't know when yet.
The one that has been very successful and continues to be successful, not thought of as in Pittsburgh, but a lot of jobs in Pittsburgh, is the mayor of Kingstown and Jeremy Remmer. And that has been really been a tremendous success for you and the team. A lot of jobs, a lot of economic impact. And where do we see that one going for the next season?
Well, look, Mayor Kingstown is currently wrapping up season 4. They'll be done here in another 6 to 8 weeks or so. We've never gotten to a season 4 before. We've never made it past the season 3. So this is a success on many levels. They do spend well over $100 million every single time they're here. There's over 800 people employed every single day they're shooting, which goes over 6 months in time. And it's huge. It's get huge recognition. They love it here. And all of our fingers and toes are crossed for a season 5 order. Hopefully we'll know about that soon. We expect him to be back. When you speak to Hugh Dillon, who's the co-creator of the show, he will also tell you he expects to be here 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seasons. So let's hope he's right. They're here. They use primarily our closed state prison, SCI Pittsburgh. That's their key location. And they absolutely love it. They love our crew. They love the locations. And they're thrilled to be here in southwestern PA.
And that said, Dawn, explain for people that don't understand how those tax credits work, because you've been trying to get the, you know, ceiling raised to bring more productions here, and that's been a challenge.
It is. We currently have $100 million in our film tax credit program, which sounds like a lot of money to all of us on this call today and probably everyone listening. But we also have to share it with the other production center in the state and throughout the communities in the state. So it doesn't go very far when you've got a lot of work happening throughout Pennsylvania, which we're lucky enough to have. The easiest way to look at the tax credits is we give them back 25 cents on every dollar they spend on qualified expenses in Pennsylvania, which is basically everything they rent or purchase or hire is Pennsylvania. These are Pennsylvania businesses. These are Pennsylvania residents. And everything's audited. So we know exactly where every dollar is spent. So on a $10 million film, they've got to spend a minimum of $6 million, and usually they spend all 10. If they spend all 10, they're going to get a $2.5 million tax credit. back.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Based on, again, what they've already spent in Pennsylvania. So we haven't kept pace with the other states. New York's over $710 million. California's about to go to $700 million. New Jersey is, you know, closing in on $1 billion because what they've done is create an incentive to create infrastructure. So they're getting sound stages built. They're getting more permanent jobs. And right now they're leading the way. They're beating Georgia even. We're really lucky. We've got a lot of work happening. Last night, President of County Council Pat Catena, along with all of the other county council people, passed a resolution to ask the state to increase the tax credit to $300 million. That is our goal, is to get there incrementally. Currently, Senators Bartolotta and Representative Cerisi both have two pieces of legislation taking us to 125. We all know it's going to be a tough budget year, but we're very hopeful we'll at least get that incremental increase because it's what's needed to keep bringing this work in.
And you have increased this over the years, and your work in Harrisburg has on both sides of the aisle and in both chambers has really worked in a great way to move that. I think that number used to be in 50, 60 million, and you've moved it up over the years. And you're right, we're competing with all these other states, and as you mentioned, even other countries, Vancouver, that if, you know, these folks make choices and they make choices that are based on what's best for them economically. And we certainly want those jobs here in southwestern Pennsylvania. So keep up the good work, Dawn. Thank you.
Well, look, we appreciate all you did for us, Rich, when you're there and you continue to do in your current position. And Larry, you're always one of our great friends. So thanks for letting us tell the story. But please, you know, help us. And people who want more information about what's happening in the region, current jobs that are available, our amazing workforce training program with Create PA, that's all at our website at pghfilm.org.
All right, Don Kieser, let Rich know the next opportunity acting, you know, he's ready.
Well, yeah, well, now that I know he's expanded to Jesus, we've got a lot more opportunities.
All right, Don, thanks.
Thank you.
You got it. Don Kieser from the Pittsburgh Film Office in her 30th year.
And she, I'll tell you, the work that she continues to do to try to promote Pittsburgh and have these films in Pittsburgh. And I know all of us, as you're flipping through some night, oh, I remember, you know, whether it's Silence of the Lambs or Back to Flashdance or,
wow,
you know.
But the fact that the Pit, even though it's not here,
it shows off Pittsburgh.
Actually, people are loving it. It's critically getting a lot of love, and that helps, you know, around the country. People think, oh, yeah, that's where that that's
exactly
shows from.
Exactly.
This is the Big K Morning Show. Larry Richard with Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwestern Pennsylvania Commission. And also with us, we have another executive director. This is for the AI strike team. I like that. Sounds like something big is going to happen. Joanna Dovin is back. Good morning, Joanna.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Good. Joanna, thanks for being here. Joanna wears lots of hats, and one of those hats is getting her kids off to school, so we're so delighted that we get her at this hour. But one of the things Joanna leads is the AI strike team here in southwestern Pennsylvania, and just last week, she was a key testifier before the Senate Policy Committee that they actually had here in southwestern Pennsylvania over at Astrobotic. And Joanna, talk about how important, number one, congratulations that you were selected to be, you know, the person that they wanted to talk to. But talk about that testimony and what that means here for southwestern Pennsylvania.
Thanks, Rich. It was really a great opportunity. I see AI as synonymous with innovation. So when you talk about states that are growing jobs, that are growing population, that are growing tax generation, you really have to talk about innovation, and that's AI. You know, all of the venture capital investment, over 90% of it in 2024 went to AI. So we had a chance to talk about tax generation and what the state should be doing to drive more jobs and economic investment to Pennsylvania. I gave some examples. In Ohio, so we talk a lot about data centers, Rich, and people say to me, why are you so obsessed? And I'm like, look, I care about tax generation and signaling that we're open for AI, and we've got some great investments coming here in Homer City, et cetera, which is great. But in Columbus, one county there has 100 data centers, okay? In 2024 alone, this county generated $931 million in paid local and state taxes just by those data center operations. So that's almost $1 billion. That money can then be reinvested in jobs, in public infrastructure, and in social good. So I really was framing the conversation around tax generation. The other thing I talked about was really what is happening? Why is there this drive for AI? And it is really an AI arms race on who is going to win, China or the U.S. It's about sovereignty. It's about security and our children's future. It's about whether America and our allies will outpace China in this race and who will define the future of the internet, of warfare, of medicine, of humankind, or, you know, will it be defined for us? So I talked about Pennsylvania's position to lead right now. Look, we have a defense heritage here. Our former steel sites were critical in ensuring that we won in World War II. So we've got the infrastructure, we've got the will. And when you look at DOD defense spending, Pennsylvania is number 7 nationally. There's about $150 billion in defense tech investment federally allocated this year. And the state and region should view this as venture capital from Washington and really meet this moment of obligation. So I talked about how we could do that. And I could tell you that whether I talk to Democrats or Republicans, everyone is energized about this moment and opportunity. It's truly a bipartisan issue.
It seems to be. And one of the things you mentioned, defense, and we know in the defense industry, Southwestern Pennsylvania, particularly among CMU, has really received over the years a lot of investment that has benefited not just this region, but certainly this nation in some of the defense technology that has been developed here. Talk about an individual named, probably people don't know, named Doug Matty, who's just was the AI, former director of the AI task force, and how that will have an influence on us here in Southwestern Pennsylvania.
Wow, you're on top of the news, Rich. I don't think the story really hit locally yet, but it is true. So there is an individual named Dr. Doug Matty who is from Pittsburgh and was critical in setting up a major AI unit for the Army here in Pittsburgh, who is now going to be the chief digital and AI officer for the Department of Defense. So this man has Pittsburgh roots. I can tell you that he was involved with AI Horizons last year. He's extremely passionate about Pittsburgh's opportunity to lead in this AI arms race. He cares about the region, and he's got a very large position now. So I see this as an opportunity for the stakeholders here to make his job easy, right? And bring home investment at the same time. So what he's going to need is AI infrastructure for the defense tech assets in the DOD. He's going to need, you know, new defense tech solutions that ensure that we win, America wins the AI arms race, and Pittsburgh could be at the center of that moment. And then you talk about these technologies, you know, serving national security interests, but oftentimes they have what's called dual use purposes. So these technologies can be commercialized in other areas like biotech, like medicine, in logistics. And then you create new markets, you create more jobs, and you see a flywheel effect in economic growth. I mean, cities like Tulsa have seen this, for example. So I talked about, and everyone's like, what's happening in Tulsa? Why are you talking about this? But look, there's a lot of people who follow this stuff know that, you know, Tulsa has a coordinated strategy around, you know, aerial development, so drones. And they've brought federal investment in. The state played a role. And as a result, they have basically a drone hub that has resulted in over 5,000 new jobs and 12% population growth, all around an emerging technology that is really where the puck is going in one aspect. So there's a role to play when it comes to leveraging your strengths, organizing your stakeholders, making federal asks, and to have a Pittsburgh native at the top of the supply chain in digital AI is very favorable for Pittsburgh. It's great news.
Well, Larry and I talk about this all the time, the opportunities in data centers and AI, and where, again, you said where the puck is going, but where the future is going for Pittsburgh and southwestern Pennsylvania. Joanna, thank you. Thanks for the work you're doing. Continue the good work and keep us posted on where this continues to go.
Excited to do so. Okay. Thanks, guys.
You take got care. It. Joanna Dobin, Executive Director of the AI Strike Team.
Persky and White News Desk, a grade of F in the American Lung Association's latest air quality report.
Pittsburgh is number 12 for cities most polluted by annual particle matter, and Pittsburgh is number 16 for the cities most polluted by daily particle matter.
You said, Rich, that over the years we have made improvements.
Major improvements, yes.
So hopefully we're able to improve on this, because it's kind of disappointing to hear these kind of numbers influenced somewhat by the Canadian wildfires.
Yeah, and also I think it becomes relative, because as other cities and other regions continue to improve, it makes it, you know, you've got to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak.
Right.
So the numbers move. If you go back a decade or even two decades or whatever it is, you would find that those numbers of everybody has continued to improve. And that's EPA and various DEPs and state agencies that continue to be more vigilant on the work that the industry does.
A state senator has introduced a bill to more than double Pennsylvania's minimum wage from $7.25 to $15.
Yeah, this has been a question. It's been 19 years. I mean,
is that amazing that it's been that long? I mean,
nothing has stayed the same in 19 years.
No. And whether it gets to that level, but it needs to be adjusted somewhat, I mean, to what it was. And nobody's paying the minimum wage either at this point, right?
Rich, you'll love this story, being that you had 8 children go to this university.
Oh, yeah. Penn State is going to auction memorabilia from Beaver Stadium next week. Items like stadium signs, sections of bleacher seats, and more.
Is that going to help pay for that
$700 million?
Enormous,
is that what it is?
Price tag. I have enough memorabilia. They're called diplomas. So, but anyway.
Yeah, you're an investor.
I'm an investor.
No way you can get around that. All right, Paul, thanks. And Rich, as always, final thoughts. Appreciate you coming in. Enjoy your visits. We learn a lot.
Well, one of the things, and you've been in the news this week, is the deer population is increasing. We saw Ross Township. We've had this in the city of Pittsburgh. We talk about improving our population in this region. Apparently the deer are the only ones that are listening and paying attention.
All right. We'll see you next Wednesday in our 7 o'clock hour. Rich Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the Southwest.